Thanks for joining me in my decaf Zoom room, Paul.
No, it's my pleasure, my honor. And so what did you want to speak to me about?
I thought you would tell me about, you know, the meaning of life, why there are so many prolific colors in the world, where I can find the perfect eclair in Manhattan, just basic fundamental questions.
So, you know, that was a Nova special, actually, last night. And the reason why there are so many colors, and since I'm a former Channel 13 guy, PBS, the reason why there's so many colors is because of heat. They call it Kelvin. Because of the heat, because everything is energy. Life is energy, and light is energy, right? The Einstein-y thing. And so that's why there's color, because more light to something, more color, more so on and so forth. But we're going to talk about...
I slept through most of second grade. I was right next to the heater, and it was like a cold classroom, so I just napped through most of that. So that's why thank you for that.
But you're probably very colorful as a result of this deduction and this consideration.
I think that's borderline racist, but I'll embrace it positively.
Well, yes, I never think of racism at all, personally, to a certain degree, because we is all brothers and sisters, and as a result of that, that's it. There's nothing more. We're Homo sapien brothers and sisters. Everything else is segregation if somebody wants to do it. I'm a John Lennonist, so I don't believe in boundaries and borders. This is my gig.
Oh, wow. One
world. So what do you think about that? Are we one world?
I'm right there with you. The unity of existence. We're on that frequency as well. I think we share that same beautiful luminous space.
I feel that with you. And you know what? We're going to talk today about that, in essence, because we're going to talk about feeding people who can't get fed because of governmental concerns and other kinds of things. And which then thusly says we aren't brothers and we aren't sisters, because if we were brothers and sisters, we'd all be taking care of each other no matter, you know, where they were, what makeup order was created and what makeup person was running the joint. We would just be all about humanity. Is it? What do you think?
No, I firmly agree with that. I think it's important to have a unifying perspective, especially in such a divisive time, in a lot of ways. And I'm 100%.
We're exhausted from this decisive, the whole thing. This is exhausting. It's so draining. And so actually we're talking, and you're on the board of an organization that does good. And I thank you for that, because you do good means that I'm doing good, since you're my brother, right? And so the organization, I believe, is homed in the San Francisco area. And it has something to do with Moms Against Poverty, I believe, is part of it. And they're helping out people in the San Francisco metro, I guess, area, as well as we're going to talk about Iran, a place that there seems to be a lot of political concern about, and to the point of feeding those that I believe there's maybe, I don't know much about politics, I can't stand politics. and so I believe that We only a few people could even send them a piece of bread. You tell me. I don't know, but I know is that's inhumane.
Yes, it's quite a sideline country, Iran. Well, because of the vast kind of efforts of Moms Against Poverty, I've thrown a map on the map. MAP is an acronym we use for Moms Against Poverty, right behind me. So. I've been a part of MAP for the last 12 years. I do all their digital media. I'm on their board of directors, and we have programs from the U.S. All the way out to, we've collaborated with programs in Japan. And so within the last 12 years, we've impacted over 500,000 families through our various programs of orphan care, health and wellness, education, and hunger relief and basic provisions. In the last 6 months, we've kind of pivoted to, because of the hunger pandemic due to the shutdown, we've really pushed our resources and focus on a lot of the more struggling communities that we work with and have started enhancing our hunger relief programs. One of the countries that we have been really active is in Iran. We've had an OFAC permit through the Office of Foreign Assets Control to have an NGO arm in Iran. And it's a disaster relief arm that we've had there for 10 years that's been quite developed over the last 10 years. So our reach during this pandemic out there has been a lot wider than it has in the past. And the organization, that our sister organization out there, is called NJC, which means Nikaman Jamshid Charity, which is something that's incredibly hard to pronounce for Americans in general. But over the last 6 months, we've been able to support over 200,000 families and then children out in Iran through, and that includes our support of hospitals through medical equipment and I think it's PPPs or PPEs, I forget the acronym, but it's highly sad that we are probably one of two organizations in the West that has the ability, that has a viable channel to help Iran, unfortunately, due to the political climate. Although there are mechanisms of humanitarian exemptions in the sanctions, that doesn't offset the fear of banks or European companies or different governments to help Iran in a lot of ways. There's just too much fear of U.S. retaliation. And so that's, in the last 2 years, essentially like choked off a lot of humanitarian aid to Iran. And I know that Mike Pompeo has said otherwise, but I think he's not aware of like the degree of the fear of you know, the backlash from the U.S. when banks and other companies have tried to help Iran with, whether it's medical equipment or you know, humanitarian aid with funds. There's too much to lose. The risk profile's too high. So therefore, you know, the country has just been struggling a lot more than it normally does with
And I guess we're and 25 million have coronavirus, have been diagnosed with coronavirus?
Yes. Well, the president made that. I think it's been such a dizzying time out there with how hard they've been hit that it's been hard to get very precise figures. But I think more recently they're kind of excavating the numbers a little more meticulously, and it's a lot worse than they had envisioned it was in the beginning. So, and I think it's important for Iran, especially in the last 3 years, it's been very, because of the radical clampdown or the restrictions prior to, you know, the pandemic, the country was already struggling with getting basic fundamental medical supplies and medical equipment. So they were kind of fighting the more advanced mind karate version of the COVID-19 pandemic, as our executive director refers to it as out there.
So how do you, how does your MAP and the organization behind it, how have they been able to have this long-term relationship to make this work?
Well, a lot of it is just the integrity of, you know, having a personal relationship with a bank, and then them trusting the organization. I mean, a lot of nonprofits who have OFAC permits, they don't have that degree of trust and long-term, you know, relationship with the bank. Because, I mean, 100% of banks today, they will just not touch Iran. It's humanitarian aid or not, it's just too much of a risk. Banks have been fine in the last few years, and it's been like over like $20-30 million, and it's like, you know, what's in it for us, you know, to risk that. And we've just had, we've had a channel for the last 10-11 years since we've had a OFAC license. And so there's an integrity there. Plus we've consistently, our reporting is so above and beyond that. In fact, about a month ago, the Office of Foreign Assets Control granted tripled our quota for the amount of funds that we can send to Iran per year. I mean, everything is down to the dollar scrutinized in terms of reporting and where the funds go, and whether it's building an orphanage or a school or doing some sort of disaster relief project. In this case, there's our hunger relief programs are becoming more developed. I think it's just kind of comes down to having a relationship with a bank where they're willing to take that risk, which is very rare.
I don't understand the bank part, because the bank, you need to transfer the money from the bank.
Yeah, so essentially you have a bank, you know, like in our case, we have an NGO alliance, like arm, sister alliance in Tehran. So the funds have to transfer there. And so that transfer process, most banks would, you know, see that as a huge risk and would not be willing to do that. Before it wasn't as, you know, red flaggable as, like, you know, this administration is kind of more profoundly blacklisted Iran in many ways. And unfortunately, it's the people that are suffering. And I mean, we know that, and it's not like we're just saying it. It's like, you know, I speak to the Iran team like every 10 days, and like, we know what's going on the ground there, and it's very underreported here. And just the horrific ramifications of the sanctions are real. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's a happy and a sad commentary all at the same time. I mean, you know, to feed somebody, somebody needing to be fed, is sad. How do people get involved with your organization? You have a website, and
we have a website. Yeah, momsagainstpoverty.org. There's opportunities to volunteer. We operate on very low overhead. It's less than 10%. In fact, I don't get paid for any of my work with MAP. I'm also one of the philanthropy partners. I raise about, like, through my other businesses, I raise about $90K a year just for Moms Against Poverty projects. So to cover, like, some of the other costs, you know, the administrative and whatnot. But there's a lot of ways to get involved, and so reach out through the website if there's anyone interested in helping out.
And this is a good guy. This guy has many sides to him. You can act. You can make people laugh.
You're just telling people I have multiple personality disorder, Paul. I don't appreciate that.
Yeah. Because, you know, as I have, it's a very good thing. It's a great thing, because every one of those, not disorders, those are really orders. Each one has, we're in order, but many times over, in good ways. Okay.
I like your appreciation for the creative madness aspects of the human spirit. Yes, I do some acting. I'm a TV and stage actor, and I own a cinematic car wash in San Francisco area, where we do some w- weird, fun kitten galaxy stuff in the car wash. And I feel very privileged that I can be in a position to be serving others. And I think at MAP, we strongly feel that we're just a part of a much larger family, and it's our responsibility to help the less fortunate as much as we can. So
last question, we're very involved with peace. In fact, you talk Japanese. This is from Yoko Ono, Imagine Peace. We do the World Peace Day concerts for the United Nations, or supporting the message of the International Day of Peace. So I've been doing it in Central Park for almost 20 years, and Times Square for the last 6. So this year we're going to have to do the Zoom kind of thing, virtually. I guess we're still waiting to see how much we could do or not could do, and so on and so forth. But I've asked thousands of people, for them, what does peace mean to them? What does peace mean to you, my friend?
I think for me, peace is a mutual intention for loving kindness, and it's that simple. And the intention to bloom community and love and support.
Good stuff. Good stuff. How does somebody say your name?
Oh, little children call me Backpack, because they can't say Bobak. So I let that slide. In fact, whenever I'm, in a regional theater show, the backstage techies I just let them go with Backpack right off the bat, so it doesn't take up so much time where they're struggling. It's like Babak, Babskabab, Bebak. But it's Bobak, and the last name is Bakhtiari, which I always wanted to translate it to the English. It means love luck. But
love luck. Okay. But,
I thought my dad would murder me if I did that.
it's all good. All righty. Well, really an honor to get to speak with you. Congratulations to the organization, and we're here to support you. You're going to also share a video that you put together, I believe, a comedy related. Is that so?
Yeah, our first online event was called Hunger Relief Night Live. It was a spoof of Saturday Night Live, and we had some celebrities and some comedic moments, some musicians joined. We raised over 300K a few months ago for various hunger relief projects throughout the world. And it's an honor, Paul, to be on your show. I'm a huge fan, and I love just the consistent and diligent compassion with which you emanate with the work you do. And so I just wanted to say thank you for bringing that light in a dark time.
Thank you. That means a lot to me, and it would mean a lot to my parents and my family. Because I was a lucky one. I was a lucky one. I had good parents, good family, good strong foundation. Anybody that didn't, it's not as easy to go through life, because it's tougher out there. So in any case, Om Shanti Om. Thank you very much. You're a good guy. Appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. I'm just going to take this roller coaster goodbye. And
I love show business. That's great. Oh, no. No. Don't do it.
I can't do this. Oh, my God. I can't help it.